Welcome to Start to Finish Motherhood, a podcast for those thinking or already single mothers by choice, just looking for practical advice for navigating life's relationships. When you decide to have children on your own, it doesn't mean that you're completely alone. I'm Aisha Jenkins, and I'm partnering with you every step of your journey.
Hey, before we dive in, if this show has added value to your life or provided insight to your parenting journey, you can support it by buying me a coffee. Visit starttofinishmotherhood.com/coffee. Now let's get into this episode, The Known Donor. Oh, this is 2026, and more we've been seeing more TV shows, more true life dramas that have SMC storylines, known donor storylines. I just watched a show the other day that someone said that they used a donor from a sperm bank, but they actually used a known donor and the kids had gone to school together. So the known donor was a friend of the mom. So it was just an interesting place to be, an interesting headspace to be in, understanding the contracting and understanding navigating the known donor relationship. So there have been quite a few stories within the SMC communities over the past few years of women who have used known donors, where the relationships did not always go as planned, and the known donor is pushing boundaries, wants more time with the kids than was initially decided upon. And so things can get really tricky and sometimes uncomfortable along the way. And then I also know of some people who have used known donors and up to this point have not had issues with the known donor. So it's still kind of a 50-50 chance, but just make sure that you are protecting yourself legally, you're protecting yourself with firm boundaries. And so, yeah, and then situations that you don't anticipate can pop up while parenting. And I'm just glad that everything was really straightforward for me and everything was consistent across the board. There are some people who have never encountered challenges. So be forewarned means being forearmed. So good luck out there in these SMC streets. All right. And so let's jump into this known donor episode.
Okay. I'm Safara. I am a 28-year-old single mom by choice to a almost 8-month-old boy. I used a known donor. I'm a doula. I'm a newborn care specialist. And yeah, I moved from the West Coast to the Midwest with him when I was pregnant, and I've been here ever since.
Let's go ahead and let's get into this. Now, using a known donor, what are some of the different ways that you know of that women can go about finding a known donor?
So there's a few different avenues that you can go down. You have a friend of a friend, a close friend of yours, someone that you met a long time ago, or then there's the websites, like there's Facebook groups, there's forums online, there's apps. I personally chose to use an app. That's just where I found the perfect donor for me. So that's just what I went with.
Okay, so there are these websites and Facebook groups. Are there specific things that they should look for, be on the lookout for? What might be a red flag?
As far as donors go, I've spent a long time just sitting back and looking at their interactions with other people who are interested in working with them, interested in just seeing what they're looking for. Like, they'll have their bio, for example, on the app, and they'll put varying degrees of information. So I was always looking out for people who were serial donors. I didn't personally want someone who had 20 offspring out there. And I was looking for people who were doing this for reasons that didn't sit well with me. So those are my two main things personally.
Okay. And then on the websites versus the apps, what would you want to look for in terms of determining if it's a reputable site or app, if it's a real thing?
The ones that I came across, there's really no way to know. It's not like it's regulated. You don't have to be verified. And that's the sketchy part, is like, you could be talking to anybody. claiming to be anybody. So it's really just up to the individual to do their due diligence as far as getting to know that donor when you first start talking and making sure it's a real person. Actually, it's funny. My donor ended up being like the first person, but I talked to a lot of others and like really deeply considered a lot of others before coming back to him and being like, no, like this one just feels right. There were certain times when they were interviewing me, they wanted to know my educational background and they wanted to know if I'm financially stable, if I have family support. Because I think I'd feel the same way if I was donating eggs. Like, where are my eggs going? A lot of people were doing it because they see other people that struggle with infertility and they want to help out. I was looking for altruism for sure.
Okay. And that seems on par with what you get with the sperm bank interaction, right? They interview the donors. They ask some of the questions are around, why are you doing this? And I think some of the moms have, quote unquote, falling in love with the audio interview, with the write-up interview. I know for my bank, I didn't get the audio, but I did read what was and what the responses were to those questions. So definitely was along the same lines of looking for someone who was doing it for what I thought was an altruistic reason. I want to help women who are looking to create a family. So yeah.
For me, like part of it was that not just that, but the fact that my child would be in contact with this person. Whether they're a minor or until they turn 18, either way, they're going to have some contact with this person. And yeah, that was really important for me to have that positive influence if it came to that.
Was there a particular question that really stood out for you that would help you to figure out that this is the right one? This is the one?
For me, I think my first two questions to everybody was always what their experience and what their expectations have been. Going into it, because they had nothing but negative things to say about the woman that they've worked with, then that's a big red flag. If they expect to have more contact than I'm willing to do, or they're like really set in contact or no contact rather than being flexible, I think the flexibility aspect was really big for me. I had a friend from like many years ago. I think I met him when I was like maybe fresh out of high school. I met this guy and he was really cool. And I asked him to be my known donor, and it just ended up not working out. I don't think his heart was really in it.
I must have stopped at every point along the way, my SMC journey. So I did consider two friends. One friend I considered at the beginning of my journey before I was really set on doing this by myself. And then another friend I consulted at the end of my thinking phase, and it solidified for me that this was the right path for me. And so the way it went with the first friend was, I'm thinking about doing this thing called a baby on my own, and I'd like you to be the donor, but you don't have to have any part. I think you're a good person. And basically, why don't you take 2 weeks to think about it and then get back to me? And if you don't get back to me, then I assume that's a no. So he did not get back to me. It was okay because I protected myself a little bit. And so then went about trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then the second friend I asked was at the end of my journey about potentially being a donor. And he was just way excited. Now, he was someone who was interested in dating me. But when I was like, yeah, I don't want a relationship. I just want you to do this. And so he was getting excited and he was talking about the things that he would do with the kid. And inside of me, I felt a tug that's just, I don't want to do that. And so that's how I knew that the path of the SMC was for me, because I just didn't want anybody else to partner with me on this. And I didn't want anybody else to be a part of it. I do have questions because this is one area that is real sensitive to, for me, the STD. And so I know from just being in the SMC spaces for a while that there are a number of different ways that you can go about getting the STD test.
This might be just like the former New Yorker in me, but I just ask everything very straight up and I don't apologize for it. I think when you make it awkward and you make it like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to ask this, then that makes it worse. I think you just got to be like, okay, here's what I need from you. And if you're with it, cool. And if not, let me move to the next donor because there's not a shortage. I need your papers. And then I need your papers again in 3 months for an updated HIV test because sometimes it takes 3 months to show up. With my donor, at least, I could ask him anything. And he was very open with that. I was like, by the way, don't consume dairy because it hurts your sperm count. I'm not consuming dairy because it hurts your uterine lining. So, and he was like, okay, got it. Thanks. And he like sent me a link for some fertility tea. That was really nice. We have a very open relationship where we could just like ask anything of each other.
you mentioned, take the test, give me your results, then come back 3 months later with the results. You can also go to a clinic and have the clinic do the whole STD, STI panel and collect the specimen and store it and quarantine it and all of that. So what are some other ways? Like, do people go with their known donor? Because I'm always skeptical of, don't just give me a piece of paper with a date stamp on it, right?
I know that there's some ways that you can get your results in a forum, like in a MyChart situation, and they can give you the login. So that's an option too. If you can log in and see, you click on test results and you see when the test was administered. So that's an option as well. For me, I think it is different when you're in a relationship with the person that is making the baby with you versus your co-parenting. I think that's another thing in itself. Because, I think there are different boundaries with that.
Yeah, I think co-parenting is totally different from being an SMC. You have another person that you're considering altogether. So for me, I don't see it as an SMC situation, but I do realize that these known donor websites are catering to a larger group of people who are looking to parent and have children, and that the SMC experience or designation is just one small piece of that, whereas you then have to be specific about what you're looking for and perhaps rule people in or rule people out based on how they might answer these questions or the types of boundaries or relationship that they're looking to have with your child. So that's all that I can say, and just speaking from an outsider's perspective, I think it's on a spectrum, but I think in the SMC experience, it falls real short of co-parenting.
Yeah, it definitely is like a whole different animal. And I think in some ways, it does make life a little bit easier. Like, you have that extra set of hands sometimes. If there's something crazy that goes down, there's that person. But also, I think part of being an SMC, the beauty of it is you don't have to run your parenting choices by anybody. There was one donor that I had been talking to. We met up in person and it was so interesting. He wanted to co-parent and I'm like, you know what? Let's talk about it and see what that would look like. So I came to this part and I sat down with him and I said, okay, here's a list of the ways that I'm raising my child and I need you to be okay with all these ways.
Oh,
and he's, oh, that all sounds good except for this one thing, circumcision. I was like, if I have a boy, he's not getting circumcised. Oh. And the guy was like, everybody in my family's circumcised. And I'm like, okay, mine too, but my son's not going to be. And then, so I like go home that night and he basically like texts his whole family. And it's just because I met his family when we met up because I guess his cousins were over or something. I met his cousins. But then he's like texting the women in his family, like his aunts, his grandma, his mom. And they were just like, no, that baby needs to be circumcised. And I'm like, you know what? If this is going to be the next 18 years, I'm good on this. This is why I'm choosing SD. Gosh. Like, I think I just had to have this experience to solidify the fact that I want to be an SMC 100%.
Yes. Yes. See, I think at some point you just know that it's the path for you. And sometimes you have to go through in order to get on the other side and be like, yeah, no, I'm good.
I feel like that also goes hand in hand with, it just reminds me too much of a relationship. If I wanted to co-parent with someone and go through all these things, like, I better at least love you.
You know what, Safara, that's a good point, because for the SMCs that are out there listening, that is almost like a best practice in the SMC space for the SMCs who go the known donor path, that when you start to engage in these uncomfortable conversations, that's where the truth kind of gets revealed. And so you have to be brave enough to go into it and have these conversations, get into the weeds, because the devil is in the details, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I want my kid to go to a religious school, but I'm an atheist, right? You don't know that until all kinds of good people walking around in the world with strange predilections about, but you won't know until you have the conversation, especially if you have not seen that side of a person. Like, I see so many SMCs, there's probably two or three a week where people are like, I'm going the SMC path, but a friend of mine offered to donate.
You can actually have his rights severed prior to conception, which I think is pretty great. That's a great option. So you don't have to worry about it once there's already a child involved. You can go through a lawyer that specializes in these things, which I highly recommend to everybody to do, because We're from California, where a contract means absolutely nothing. If he were to take me to court and say, I want partial custody, I want visitation, et cetera, mm-hmm. I would have no ground to stand on with just a contract. So definitely going through a lawyer is super, super important.
I do have a question because I did have an interesting interaction. And Farah, when you say have the contract, okay, so you have a contract. I'm assuming that it's a contract you get notarized, right?
Yeah.
How did you feel when you went to the notary and they have to read over the document? Because I did something similar, so I'll share what my experience was. But what was your experience like and the look?
Personally, I don't know that I care enough to pay attention to what other people are like looking at me about, because I don't know, I'm like covered in tattoos and have my hair really short. So at this point, I'm just like, people won't stare regardless.
Theoretical conversations and things that you're doing in your head are different than taking a gulp of air and going and actually doing it, right? And so I had to get the passport for my daughter. And this is my first time around. So I'm thinking like, it was unclear, did I need to get a notarized letter or did I not? And so I'm like, let me err on the side of go ahead and get it notarized. So I got to get it notarized and typed it out, whatever. So the guy who has to sign is like reading over the document. He's like, huh. And so he looks at me, I'm like, yeah, stamp it and sign it. And so, yeah, so definitely one for the books.
I think that was like the main thing for me was my kid is going to have questions about, do I have the same attributes as this person? Do I sit like them? Do I do this weird thing with my whatever? Because that's what they do. It's so funny. Like I watch my dad and my brother, they haven't had a relationship in so many years, but they came together and like they sit the same and they talk the same and they like move their eyebrows the same. And I wanted my kid to have those answers and like that connection. That was my base reason for why I chose a known donor.
Yeah, it didn't factor in for me because I think I had been in the SMC spaces long enough to know, one, that a lot of these kids look like their mothers, but also I was okay having the conversation like, we're a mom and kid family. I used a donor, even at the young age, like you have a donor. I've had the conversation with my girls and we'll sit down and talk about if they want to talk about features and things like that. It's an ongoing talk.
I'm a doula and I'm a newborn care specialist. So a lot of what I do is helping women prepare, women and just families in general, prepare for being pregnant and giving birth and going through postpartum and having a new baby. So through that, since we're in COVID, I do this virtually. And if anyone wants to connect with me, they can just email me directly, safarahcooper@gmail.com, and they can just chat with me.
Thanks for listening to Start to Finish Motherhood with Aisha. If you want to keep the conversation going, follow Start to Finish Motherhood on Instagram or email me at aisha@starttofinishmotherhood.com. If you love this episode, please share it with anyone who's thinking of becoming a single mother by choice, anyone who's already parenting as a single mother by choice and just looking for advice on navigating it all, or a friend or family member who's looking to support someone else's single mother by choice journey. Until next time, bye now.